Okay, this is a continuing dialogue with Dr. Chetna Kripalu. Today's area of exploration and dialogue is based on something called the feelings wheel, which will be sent to individuals upon request, or it'll be sent as an attachment to this recording. It's also available online. It's easily accessible. You can just Google feelings wheel, or we can send it also. So my question is regarding the word feeling itself. You know, this is a very common word that we use to describe something that is happening within us. So I was wondering if you could shed some light on what is your understanding of emotion in general, emotion or feeling? What is your vision of that? Now, you can answer the question however you want, in a more general sense, or if you want to put it in the context of physical health, you can put it that way. You know, we always talk about mind-body connection. We talked about that a lot. But, you know, feelings are real, but they're not something physical that somebody can see as such. I mean, they're difficult to detect directly. There are physical manifestations. Like, if I'm feeling sad, if I start crying, you can say that a particular person is crying, and then there is a feeling associated with that. You know, you can answer this however you want or explore it, you know, but I want to see what your thoughts are about this.
Yeah, so obviously that's a big, big
area.
Emotion.
There's a sense that emotion is also energy in motion. Mm-hmm. So there's energy
Absolutely.
Involved in all feelings. There are negative feelings, positive mm-hmm. feelings. Like this, the wheel will also say feelings when your needs are met, because we have all kinds of physical needs. We have, you know, just day-to-day life needs. Mm-hmm. And then, so there's different kinds of feelings that come about, feelings when needs are not met. That's nicely shown diagrammatically here. So, you know, your thoughts on this in terms of physical health, in terms of meditation, or wherever you want to go with that. Mm-hmm.
Feelings are developed, or emotions, yes, and it is energy in motion, because emotions probably develop from the feeling. Meaning, for example, I think the way I can think about it is it starts with a thought. So is it because of the way a person perceives a thought? And so let's say they have a thought of... And these thoughts come also from prior conditioning,
yes.
Meaning what the person has been through in their life.
Exactly.
And things like if they have been abused as a child. When I say abused verbally, and their confidence is way down in the mud, for example. Mm-hmm. Like if they've been told you're no good, you're not good for anything, and things like that, then that's the basis they've developed.
Yes.
So the thoughts even which occur to them when they interact with people is yeah. going to be different from somebody else who's been through some other situation. So even mm-hmm. the thoughts would arise from your brain because of outer circumstances is kind of connected
yes.
to these these situations that person has been. And so the conditioning which happens from that, or the belief system which has been developed because of
yeah.
that.
Yes.
So, for example, if this is the situation in a child of sense of abandonment and not being, you know, cared for their potential or... So there is a sense of mistrust, they can have a situation where they grow up, they grow to be a teenager, and somebody comes into their life, for example, a girlfriend or a boyfriend, whoever, and they come in and they keep telling them, I love you, and that's a good situation to be. For a person who grew up in love, it's different because they learn to trust the other person, and that is a relationship being formed. So going back to that, but in this person, the conscious, you know, interaction is one of love and trust and everything. But the subconscious, emotion or feeling they constantly have is one of, no, but I'm not good enough. No, but I'm not worthy of it. I am no good. I don't think, you know, this person would eventually love me. So
yeah.
without their knowledge, they... try to avoid this person. They just kind of, you know, keep them at a distance because they feel this, even though there is a chance or opportunity to have a relationship, actually find love in their life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So So what I'm trying to say here is, it's such a general term about feeling and emotions. Yeah. It depends on the person's conditioning of what they start feeling. So a general emotion of somebody who's brought up in a good environment and they're okay, they right. just are happy-go-lucky and everything. Yes, the thought impulse, whatever, you know, positive things come, they embrace it and they go with the mm-hmm. feeling. Mm-hmm. And they might even the negative thoughts, they may actually convert it into a different or a neutral feeling or a positive feeling yeah. because of the underlying conditioning which they have been through. Mm-hmm. So I think that really makes a difference of how these feelings and emotions occur. For somebody who has been through a lot in their life, everything may sound bad. Even a little bit of, somebody's trying to correct them may seem like, oh, this person's trying to find right. fault with me.
Yes.
It's an abuse. And their emotions may be something completely different, as more defensive they can be, or just a way to cry for everything.
So the question I had, because there's a lot that you just covered mm-hmm. right now, you used the expression belief system. You know, what do you mean by that? You know, because you used the word conditioning, and I think we all have a sense that, you know, there's some kind of conditioning with language and different beliefs, ideas, how we should live, how we should not live. Even religious beliefs are there. There's beliefs about food, about health. All different kinds of beliefs are there. So when you use the expression belief system in relation to emotions in general or feelings in general, what do you mean by that? What is the connection in your mind?
Yeah, so taking the example again, like I said, if a child was always made to feel that they were not good enough, by the children.
So that becomes the belief.
Yes. So that's the belief. It's a limited belief. We know it's not true, but right. that's the child growing in this environment. And he is unconsciously or subconsciously have set up this belief system that it's not good enough. Despite whatever he does, it's just not good enough.
Yes.
And unless he's conscious of this belief system or this conditioning which that person has, he is not going to be experiencing all the positive emotions which comes in his life, even though it comes in his life from people right. or complimenting him and everything. It's going to be more in the negative area unless mm-hmm. a person is told or he makes a conscious effort to change the subconscious programming.
Okay,
and
so
that's what is conditioning or belief system.
Yeah, so you just use the expression, you know, that the individual can become conscious of his or her belief system. There's a belief system, and then to become conscious of that, would you say that meditation is a major role or plays a major role in that? And if you say that it does, how does it do so?
Absolutely. That is why that is the next step. So how do we, you know, become conscious, and how do we change the belief system which you've acquired, the limited beliefs which
right.
we've acquired?
Right.
Meditation is a powerful tool, because what you're trying to do is go beyond your body and mind. So we know that these feelings come from literally your mind, especially because you're thinking a certain thought that brings up certain emotions in
yeah.
your body.
Yeah.
So thinking is a function of the mind. Feeling is a function of your body. So you think
a
thought.
That's an interesting distinction. Thinking is a function of the mind. Feeling is a function of the body. Could you elaborate a little bit on that also as you're
yeah,
going?
Yeah, so the thoughts come in the mind or the brain, whatever you want to, we're going to keep it broad. I mean,
yeah.
we don't want to go
yeah.
deep
yeah.
with the difference between the mind and the brain.
Yeah.
But the impulses and the thought come through the brain or the mind, the the frontal cortex, where it's coming in, but what you're feeling is in your body, the heart rate racing or even the emotions of this love and everything. It's a certain way of reacting in your system, the body system, your mm-hmm. cardiovascular system, your respiratory system, even the other hormones,
mm-hmm.
which actually come from the brain, but this effect is seen in your body.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by thinking is a function of the brain, and feeling or emotion, so-called emotion after the feeling is started, is because the energy now is in the body
yeah.
and it gives, you know, rise to a certain feeling in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm talking about, the connection between the thought and, you know, the thought from the mind and
right.
the feeling. So what happens is when you meditate,
yeah.
you are going beyond this feeling, because what happens is, let's say, again, going back to this example of this person who's attained this kind of a belief system, is feeling abandoned, or not abandoned, but not so good about himself. He doesn't have good self-worth or self-esteem, that he's able to, or he will be able to do things. That becomes, he associates or identifies himself with that personality. And what meditation allows people to do, of course, going deep enough, is to go to that point where you go beyond that, beyond your body. And there is a space you can go by meditation, beyond the body and the mind. And that is when you know you are a greater being than your body and mind. That allows you to move from this conscious to experience or look into your subconscious and the limited beliefs, and to be able to be in a position or in a state to change it. Mm-hmm. Because then there is a new possibility. There is no possibility, because if you're in your mind thinking and feeling in your body that this is who I am, and this is what brings me, this is my personality, and this personality again goes to the mind saying, the thoughts again come, you know, not comparable, but according to what your feelings are. So that's kind of like a cycle circuit which keeps going back and forth and again and
it's,
again.
It's like being caught inside the content of the mind.
Correct.
Because the mind is like a container. I mean, this is the way I have understood this, you know, over time, which is the conditioning process. Even John Locke, the philosopher, talked about it as being as a blank slate. You know, the child is born and then there's conditioning and all impressions and ideas and beliefs and so many things are there. And it's necessary. But, you know, so the conditioning is there, but the problem is that most people are caught up in that conditioning, and then different kinds of feelings that are occurring, particularly the negative emotions, are then harmful to the body. So the link between conditioning to emotion and then with belief systems is what you're talking about, and then particularly the role of meditation in this circuit.
Yes, absolutely. So what meditation does, like I said, is go beyond the mind and body, when you can create a new possibility. Like, that is the step when you have to think. And when I say think,
looking outside the box
and saying, what do I really want? The first thing it allows you to do is there is more. It's not that you have to be stuck in your mind and the body.
Yes.
So it's not anymore.
Or circumstance even.
Correct. It's just that you can actually be somebody else. Yes. You have the power to be somebody else. You have the power to manifest what you want. You have the power to create your future. And all these things only come when you go to the neutral space, because otherwise you're repeatedly caught in the same mire or whatever you call
it. So that is an extremely powerful statement you just made, at least in my mind, going to the neutral space. You know, most people are generally not aware that that's there. Is that neutral space a creation out of meditation, or is it actually there that you just become aware of due to meditation?
Perfect. It is not, it's not outside, it's all in there. The problem is, because we are so caught up in our mind and the body, we don't realize there is something else there. So with meditation, it takes away all your focus on your mind and your body, and then you realize that there is a neutral space, there is something more in you, which is actually seems much more redeeming, meaning...
Or there's a calmness there.
Exactly. So there
silence is there.
There's this unique silence where there is a sense of calmness in it.
Yeah.
And you feel like that feels good at that time. I don't mean feeling emotions in your body.
No.
There is this different sense of calmness. There's a different sense of feeling good where you...
It's almost like a liberated feeling.
Correct.
Liberated from the vortexes that are within our mind.
Yes,
the continual rolling around of the content in the mind.
We feel stuck because we are confined in our body and mind. So I think we're going beyond that. You don't feel stuck anymore. Mm-hmm. And that is why that opportunity needs to be taken at that space where you want to really introspect what you actually want from life. Because you might want a lot of things in your conscious mind, but it's not happening because your subconscious mind sabotages everything. That is the saboteur, right. which is a problem. And that's why we can't move on.
There's also a nice picture of the conscious and the subconscious mind with the iceberg analogy. Mm-hmm. I think you've seen that, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, go ahead.
So that is the thing. So it obstructs you. So it's kind of like a writer's block. So mm-hmm. if somebody's writing a book, there is something I heard the other day. There is a biologist, and his name is Bruce Lipton. He always talks about it. He's written a lot of books now, but when he used to sit down to write books, he knew all the theory. He knew all the things which he wanted to put in the book, but there was always a time when it came to publishing or anything, there was a huge block because his subconscious mind always told him, there's so many people, I don't think they're going to agree with what you're saying, or this is not going to work. Nobody's going to read your book. So these are all developed from, you know, your conditioning over time. In his case, he is from, I can't remember now, Stanford or Harvard, where he was doing research and everything. But when he came on to something different, you know, which is completely different from the standard belief system, that's why his first book was called Biology of Beliefs, everybody shunned him. Nobody appreciated. In fact, he was fired, or he had to leave the prestigious university. So those are all which helps, which becomes your conditioning in the subconscious mind without even knowing. So those are your blocks which become a problem for you to go beyond it. Yeah. So this is why meditation is important, because when you go into that space, you become whole, because you are whole. But we have considered, our mind tells us otherwise, our body tells us otherwise, that you're not, you're this or you're that, constant chatter in your mind. So that is the one to overcome. That is why you need that specific, space to create
space.
Your new future. So you can be whoever you want, but you got to do it in that space, because that's when you don't identify yourself to your current personality.
So are you saying that through various types of meditation, there is a neutral space that one comes upon? And in that neutral space, then one becomes a creator of something totally new. Are you saying that there's thoughts that occur in that space, thoughts and emotions of different type, or there's actually no thought or emotion, there's just blankness? Yeah, it's maybe a little bit of a tricky question. I don't mean it that way, but because the follow-up of that also would be, what is the difference between that neutral space and just totally just falling asleep, like deep sleep? When somebody's in deep sleep, you know, even the EEG and all the different scanning that is there neurologically shows that there's a very significant change in the brain. There really isn't any experience in deep sleep. So how is deep sleep different from the neutral space that you're talking about? So that's another follow-up question. It's all connected together. I don't know how you want to go into that.
Yeah, so there is a neutral space. And the only difference in deep sleep is you're unconscious in deep sleep.
So that's the big difference. So you're totally unconscious in deep sleep, right?
So here you're conscious of that neutral space, which is the consciousness. You know, we can go into details, but this is a conscious feeling where you can actually appreciate this neutral space of calmness and, you know, feeling a whole and being in that, you know, being in that extreme unconditional love. And there's so many descriptions to it.
Yes, it's a type of freedom.
Exactly. So that is, you're conscious of that feeling. That's the only difference. In sleep also you disconnect, but then you are unconscious. Mm-hmm. And that's what sleep is. And the body and the mind, your being requires it, that's why, to be able to go on in your life. Yeah. And it automatically does it. But in this case, what you're trying to do is consciously going into that space where you can experience that bliss, or you can experience that love or compassion or whatever, the calmness. It's different for different people.
Sure, sure.
So the idea in this connection about creating what you want is, why that's necessary is because, like I said, we are limited by your subconscious mind, about which tells you different things about you. And that will not allow you to move forward about where you want to be, your desire to be whoever you want to be and things like that. So people don't even think about it. They just go with the flow. But in this case, you can really, really use this space, or use this use all your energy at that point to start creating your future. And what do I mean by that? Is that is the place where you start imagining yourself in a place or whatever. Let's say, for example, there is a business owner and he wants to be at a certain level, you know, and in the future, and something's preventing him from doing that. So what you're trying to use here is fantasizing, literally dreaming, because that's the best way to put it, and visualizing. There's all different kinds of things. The easiest thing is fantasizing. And the reason why fantasies are so beautiful is because it's so beautiful because you imagine yourself in that situation with all the emotions and feelings, how you're going to experience or you're, when you've already achieved it.
Yes.
Because that is the most important thing.
Law of attraction.
Exactly. Yeah. So your vibration coming into the vibrational world. We're all into the vibrational world. Again, the subconscious mind gets you into a certain vibration level. And unfortunately, that's all you start attracting. And that's the law of the universe, the law of attraction. So things keep happening to you. But when you go into this neutral space, you allow yourself to move into a higher vibration, what you actually want, because you're imagining and picturing yourself in that situation, having achieved whatever the goal you want to achieve, and how do you feel when you've achieved it.
Yes.
So that's a really heightened state of vibration, and that is what you're going to use again and again to mm-hmm. manifest what you want, because mm-hmm. like, again, coming back to the law of vibration, it's matched according to that. And that is so beautiful, because as you do so you're, what you're trying to do is getting away from your current conditioning, current subconscious programming. So this is moving up into the next, you know, a different topic about subconscious reprogramming is what we're trying to do in this case.
Yes.
So of course that meditation is important. But you have to do it also when you're awake and conscious too. Because remember, the self-talk which you've been doing otherwise, we don't realize it. That self-talk is, let's say somebody's in pain. We're going to a different subject, a bodily symptom. And all, because it's a common thing to say it aloud. I'm in pain. Mm-hmm. I have pain in my leg. Mm-hmm. I have pain in my back. I have pain here. But what you're trying to do is, it's the connection between your mind and your body. So you're constantly telling your body you are in pain. Yeah. You are weak. You know, this is how you are, and it's going to get worse. You know how the mind
right.
goes.
Right.
If this gets worse, then I can't walk. Then what will happen?
Right.
So you're really telling your body what you are going to go through.
You want to change
and
that.
You are.
Yes.
So you have to change that. Once you do that in meditation and set it in motion,
mm-hmm.
you want to use certain affirmations or certain opposite stuff. So for example, if you feel like, yes, you have pain, and people may say, yeah, but that's the reality. Yes, but we're trying to change the reality.
That. Exactly.
That's the whole idea. So
and
you're
not to be stuck there, yeah.
So the whole idea of reprogramming comes into
yeah.
this place where we're trying to say, even if your body hurts, you're actually going to say the opposite. You're
yeah.
not going to complain to anybody.
Right.
Because the original idea was you talk and talk about your problems, but that's not going to help because you're making it worse.
You can make
remember,
it worse.
The circuit is getting stronger when you complain
yeah.
in the negative way.
Yes.
So you got to do the opposite. You're going to say, literally have a conversation. I know it sounds crazy, but literally have a conscious conversation with your body saying, if my knee hurts, you know, you are strong enough, you can heal, and you are really capable of doing much more than you're hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're trying to tell me something, and thank you for doing that. I know it's a long talk, but things like that really help. And simple affirmations like saying, mm-hmm. my knee is absolutely normal. It's getting better every day. It is already great. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate what all it can do for
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
And things like that, because this is the reason to do this is because every thought we think, every message we give sends certain chemicals. You
right.
know, so the positive thoughts create certain chemicals, the negative thoughts, certain chemicals. When you do the positive chemicals, that is one of healing. So it kind of goes everywhere, the modification of the hormones. Eventually genetic expression. So, but this is a positive feedback. So you're putting the body in a healing mode. And the body perfectly knows what to do. But when you do the negative loop mm-hmm. by saying the opposite, you're releasing the other chemicals,
mm-hmm.
which are not of healing. And it's more about stress hormones, you know, creating, going up. And healing doesn't happen when your stress hormones are up.
Mm-hmm.
So really, really, it's affecting your physical body completely. So the only way you can manifest what you want and heal even in your body
yeah.
is by doing, you know, meditation, going into this space, what do you want, and using these affirmations to reprogram your, you know, subconscious, you know, again and again.
Yes, yes.
So you find freedom from it. This is very true because in our practice, I have seen people who have, let's say, back pain, and that's like a most common complaint all over. But people who have chronic back pain, if you look at them, these are the loops which are which they've created. Mm-hmm. And if you really look at their imaging, let's say an MRI or magnetic, you know, of the back and things like that, it really doesn't look horrible. So where is the pain coming from? So pain is a function of the mind. It is not. It starts in the body. Pain is inevitable, right. But the suffering which comes from there is actually the mind's concoction. So that is why it lingers on. And the typical or the best example is phantom pain. So when somebody loses
phantom limb,
so when somebody has an amputation of their leg and below the knee they have no leg, but if you ask them, they're still in pain in their leg. So if you look at that, if you think about it completely in terms of flesh and bones and the body, there's no body there. Why are you having the pain? So obviously it's the function of the mind which is causing that suffering. So that is a typical example of saying that why it's a it's like a story built in your mind that you are suffering, you are in pain. So that's how the mind-body connection is. So one has a great benefit from meditation and consciously working on their thoughts or what they're saying. It's the self-talk which you're telling their body or telling themselves. So, you know, that is why I'm not a big fan of talk therapy.
Yeah.
It might help maybe in the beginnings.
Yeah.
But then over time, if you keep talking about it,
it
kind of builds or makes the circuits of the negative loop stronger and stronger, and people don't heal from it. So that's why when people go to, and nothing wrong with nothing wrong with psychotherapists or anybody, but when they go to their therapist, they talk about everything, they feel great, because they feel they've unburdened everything.
Yeah.
But that is very temporary. These circuits are kind of getting stronger, so when you go back home, all that comes back again, the default mode. Mm-hmm. And then it gets stronger and stronger and stronger.
Sure.
So people end up with therapists for years because they just find that 1 hour, it just gives them that freedom. And then
because they're building it up again in the mind.
Other waking up hours, it's just worse. So this is why it's important to understand this mind-body connection.
Mm-hmm. So there are some follow-up questions that I do have, but we'll save those for future recordings. Thank you very much, Dr. Chaitanya.